This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got the return of, oh man, it's Corey Majors. And the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are we doing?
I'm doing really well. And all man is done.
Oh, guys. What?
Yeah, all man was a 2-week run for the great barbecue pit. And so now
I think it should have been extended to two years.
I think it should be a lifetime thing that we do here at the station because it was fun.
Oh man!
Yeah, but that'll stick around. You know, we'll always have the words.
Okay.
Looking really forward today to talking to Shea Wiggum. Kevin, he was at Tyler Junior College. We saw this early, like in our research, but now we're getting stories from Tolos about it.
Wow.
So I'm pretty stoked about this on Cinco de Mayo.
All right. Look, here's the thing. We're going to talk about the Stars in just a minute, but I just got this text and I don't understand the connection necessarily. It's Cinco de Double Points at Jersey Mike's to celebrate. Cinco de Double Points at Jersey Mike's. Enjoy double points on all sub purchases today. All right. That's great. I love Jersey Mike's. This has nothing to do with Jersey Mike's and their product. I think their sandwiches are delicious. I think those brownie things that they have are freaking amazing.
Yep.
But when you think of Cinco de Mayo, you don't really think of Jersey Mike's, do you? You're like, oh man.
Well, they added that new chili red pepper relish. So, No, actually, is the answer.
I was about to say, are you just being that lady at the restaurant who's like, guacamole? And you're like, stop that. Stop everything that you're doing.
Can I please get some queso?
Oh my God.
But it's an American holiday. And if you're in America and you have a business, you have to do anything you can. When I was working at Pueblo Arriba, Kevin, running the bar over off McKinney, up uptown.
Much more authentic.
There we are. Pueblo Arriba. Guess what? The Irish pub across the street was packed full of beer drinkers. All right. It was for a Cinco de Mayo party at an Irish pub. And I was like, this is crazy. But yeah, man, it's a holiday and you got to celebrate it the right way. You got to take advantage of it.
All right.
Take advantage.
Nothing says Cinco de Mayo like Jersey Mike's, I guess, was my basic thought and question.
Jersey's the destination. You know, it's the destination for Mike's.
Please do not respond to people on the fan text by saying gracias.
From the 817, double the juice. Yes, I did say gracias, by the way. That's what I'm doing. Thank you. It's the way you say thank you. That's just the way that you say thank you.
Everybody knows that. Mm. All right. So
from the 817, I'll only be eating Mexican food on Cinco de Mayo. And I'm planning on eating steaks tonight.
Okay.
But I need some rice and beans on the side, some enchilada sauce. I'm just saying.
Oh my God.
Some queso.
Stop.
Oh man, I'm starving.
Maybe a Dos Equis.
Can you go ahead, I guess, and give me cut number 4? Because we need to talk about the freaking Stars.
15.2 to go.
This calls
Colorado last 11 shot attempts. McCarr kept it in. Free puck. Lindell didn't get good one on it, but Sagan got it out. Rantanen again. Unbelievable. A legendary performance by Rantanen against his former team.
I love that call so, so much. And that call, along with, you can see the arena like shaking in the camera and everyone going berserk and knowing that you're going to win. It is all freaking incredible.
Yeah. But it was nice to see that.
What are you about to do?
I actually, guys, I was watching this game on my phone at an event. With Adrian's, My Possibilities. It was her last one. I haven't announced this yet, have I?
Oh, no.
Can I announce it?
I don't know. It's your family and your wife.
Yeah. Adrian is, she's leaving My Possibilities to go be the executive director for Jared Sandler's Sandlot Children's Charities.
Woo!
And so it's been it's a really cool opportunity for her to take on a really awesome project that they're going to work on. Y'all are going to be hearing about it soon. Trust me. Thank you very much, Lucy. But it was
That's
her
the best use of that.
It was her last community ball. And it was down at Reunion Tower, and I'm sitting there at the table and my buddy, he's like, "Hey, we're watching this game." I was like, "All right, man." So he pulls his phone out, sets it up. We're watching it. We're down 2-0, and he's just like, "I can't anymore." And he turned his phone off and went and he started drinking, and I was like, "Oh, man." So I would occasionally check in, and I saw the first goal on alert. Then I saw the second goal to tie it up, and I was like, "I got to go get this phone out." So I'm watching it on a phone, and they're playing, you know, Whitney Houston's "I Want to Dance with Somebody" on the stage, and I'm just like, "Oh, my gosh." Dude, I had to go back, though. I went back and watched the third period multiple times yesterday just to get that feeling, because I can only imagine anybody that was watching that live and seeing all that unfold before their eyes the way they did, not the way I did, but the way you did when you're sitting there watching it, it must have been epic for you. And you also must have been nervous and terrified all at the same time, and I wish I could have lived that with y'all. Because that seeing the result of it all is spectacular.
So I want to talk about the idea of sports superstitions and how the Metroplex helped will the Stars to victory. So I'm watching the game. I'm watching the game with Jess. We're losing 2-0. It feels very sad. That goal early in the third period kind of felt like it might have been an all hope is lost goal. And then Jess is like, "Hey, I'll go get us dinner, late dinner." She leaves to go pick up food. Surely the Cinco de Mayo special at Jersey Mike's. And while she's out, the Dallas Stars score. So at 9:21, I tweeted out, "My wife is running an errand and the Stars just scored. I need to ask her to stay out, right?
Don't come home," is what I would have said.
"My wife is stupid."
Okay, that was unnecessary. Shot at my wife.
She's taking a new job, as far as we know.
Yeah.
So
I think she starts next week.
So 12 minutes later, 9:33. She's still out getting us food.
This is a long food run here.
Yeah, I don't even remember what we got. Because I was overtaken by the emotion of the Stars.
Yes.
So now the Stars score again. 2 Dallas Stars goals since my wife left the house. I'm definitely locking her out until the end of the game, which is what I did want to do. But I also want to stay married after this series and everything like that. So my wife comes home. She brings the food. I explain to her the situation. And this is how I know I married the right person. Because she, you know what she said? "Do you need me to leave again?" And I was like,
"It's a good woman right there."
Yeah.
Or just partner in general. Yeah,
exactly.
Any person that does that for you.
I was like, "Yeah, do you think you could?" And she goes, "I could always go return something to Target." And I was like, "Okay, she's middle-aged and married. That makes sense." And so, come on.
Was it just one thing or was it multiple things?
You know, I think it was just one thing. I'm honestly not sure. No, she returns multiple things on Amazon. Okay. And I was like, "Hey, will you put that on a credit card?" Because it's like, "Hey, I spent $462 on Amazon." She's like, "But really, it's only $78. And I'm like, how is that?
Because I returned most
of it. Yeah, and I'm like, "Well, that's not the way our checking account works, but okay." So anyways, she leaves.
You chart the book.
Yes, I do. And it drives me freaking insane. And we've had to adjust. So I'm going to go to cut number 3. She is driving out of the garage and Colorado gets called for a penalty. 15 seconds or so into that penalty, we get this.
A man up. Now trying to take the lead. Down low. Johnston scores! Wyatt Johnston with 3:56 to go.
So now I texted her at 9:39 and I said, "The Stars just scored again, for real." She said, "Woohoo, I live here now, it's fine." And then I texted her at 9:46, empty net goal, Stars win. And her response was, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious, like, I got so much feedback on that with people being like, hey, I was watching the game and we were losing 2-0 and I turned it off. And then we scored 2 goals and I decided I don't get to turn it back on. Like, the power of superstition, because Alec, I realized in that moment, you shouldn't think that, but there is nothing in the world that could have convinced me that we didn't win that game because Jess left the house. You know what I'm saying?
That's amazing. That's good commitment, like Corey said, from your partner, but two, you believing in that moment was key too.
Yes.
Because I've always told myself that, like, I need to allow myself to be emotionally invested, because if I try to stay level head and say, you know, they're going to come back, it's okay, it always seems to go the wrong way. So yes, I let myself get mad in that moment. I was like, as soon as we went down 2-0, I was like, it's over, it's done. I just walked around the house all mad. I was like, it's done. I was allowing myself to just overreact. And then what happens? I'm ripping my shirt off Hulk Hogan style whenever we take the lead. And I'm like, okay, we're back and we're totally winning this game. So that's my superstition, is like, I just need to be mad or overly excited.
Yeah.
And then things usually go my way. So I'm right there with you. It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to us. And that's all that matters.
The Twitch Seth Nithity said, I once had my wife sit in the bathroom for 40 minutes at the end of a Cowboys game. That's a long end of a Cowboys game for one, but at the same time, hey, the commitment to stay in the bathroom, did she go the whole time, or was just hang out in there and like playing on the phone? You send some books in there. Did you open the door and go talk during commercial breaks? You know, like, what was going on there? What do you mean? Dude, we all go in the bathroom after somebody else.
Yeah, but not to talk to them while it's happening.
If they're done, they're just in there now.
Okay.
Like, just staying and chilling.
So when she went back and left, I think there's about 5 minutes left, and she goes, is this like a real 5 minutes, or is this like basketball 5 minutes? And I go, it'll be much closer to real 5 minutes than basketball 5 minutes. So she was glad to do so. I know my mom has always felt that way. If she turns off the TV and the game turns around, she's like, it's because I wasn't watching. That's just the way it is. And there's even a joke. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where I think it's Charlie that is all tied up and he's trying to get up and like do his thing for the Eagles. And then he imagines an Eagles player who shows up and is like, Charlie, we all know that if you don't wear the green man suit, we can't win this game. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the way so many of our fans think, even though I know in the logic center of my brain, that has nothing to do with it. In the minute, there is nobody who can tell me anything differently.
Bro, at 9:11.
Never forget.
On Saturday, I texted Kevin and said, we suck.
Yes.
And we were down 2-0 and it was just bad. And Kevin texted back, 40 minutes later.
I was watching the game.
40 minutes later, Kevin texts back, in your face. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that's when I realized I needed to say we suck in order for us to have the magnificent turnaround that happened.
Man, you might be right about that. From the 972, from a Stars fan, thank you, Jess. You also sent out the email yesterday. Now that the Stars are playing St. Louis, who are you rooting for?
That was my prediction.
Okay, but I had to go back and check like a million times. I was like, is this tape delayed? Mm-hmm. Like, what? But all the information I could find, I was like, he would have sent that out before the game even started.
I was just hoping I got my prediction right.
Well, I mean, it looked like for, you know,
most of the
59
game.
minutes and 57 seconds, yeah, you were going to get that right. And on then St. Louis was like, I'm good.
I kept asking during the series, when will Mikko put the cape on and just go be Superman? Yeah. When is he going to tell the rest of the team, don't worry, I got it? And holy crap, I didn't know that was, like, I'm getting chills now just thinking about the version of him that we got was what we saw with McDavid last year when he was just like, all right, guys, I know, I'll take care of it. And
yeah,
he did his thing. And so this version of it was amazing. The Wyatt moment is so spectacular. Otter shutting the door the way he did, though, and saying, hey, guys, I know I gave up a couple goals. It's not going to happen. Once he realized, guys, you know, this is actually happening. We have a chance. All I have to do is my part.
He's like, I'll keep it at 2.
And he did. And that, like, that's when Pete DeBoer's talking about that after the game. And he's like, a lot of people, they look at, they're like, he doesn't have a 98 save percentage. But for us, it's the timing. Whenever he does turn it on like that, he really, it changes everything, and you have one of the top 5 goalies in the league going at it, you know? Like, you have, DeBoer said, this is the best league in the world. Sure. And my guys went out there and just beat one of the top five teams in the best league in the world.
Sure.
And like that without two of our best players. This is amazing.
Yeah, which brings all kinds of fascinations for like the Jets and hopefully the teams after that. From the 817, I did the same thing. The Stars gave up a goal after I took my jersey off. I put my jersey right back on, and they scored a goal in the next 5 minutes. From the 469, so you're saying your wife is bad luck. No, just for this particular instance, I needed her out running errands to make sure that we won.
Yeah, look at it on the bright side. She was good luck in that
exactly.
instance.
Exactly. And you talked about Miko taking over, and we'll break this down as the show goes along. I understand that last empty net goal and the call is incredible. I know a lot of people are going to focus on the wraparound that defied physics and logic, but it was that first goal to me because it felt like he goes, let's call the Miko play. Like he's moving down the ice and he said, the hell with it.
I don't
care who else is on the ice. I don't care what kind of odd man or they didn't, but if they had an odd man rush or anything, I'm calling the Miko play, and I'm going to try to score a goal right now. And he did, and it was incredible.
He put eyes on that puck, yes. too. That thing traveled, and was like, I'm going where I want to go.
It felt like a force of will when he scored that first goal. Like, obviously, all the goals are important. But before that, it felt like you were dead in the water, and you were just watching the last 20 minutes of your season until he scored that goal.
Yeah, man. That's some... Kevin, we kept... When he arrived, the word elite goal scorer was said.
Yes.
And you were like, in Carolina, he was not the same guy. And we were like, hopefully we can get it. And we didn't see it until this series, yeah. late in the series.
Yeah.
But now, Kevin, that's the difference. That's when Brian Ray said the line of Jim Nill rewarded the team with a player like this. You know, they worked their butts off. Now that you give an extra injection of juice of, hey, man, we can actually do something special because we have that guy. That's what we're rolling with from here on now, man.
From the 2-4, Kevin, I don't know your wife, but she rocks. She does. And from the 817, if I go outside to smoke and the Cowboys score, my wife makes me stay outside. See, we all get it. We all understand the parts, inconsequential or vitally important, we have to play. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, just how much did us fans and the Metroplex sports scene need that Stars win on Saturday night? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Back for Rantanen. Rantanen, all kinds of room! He scores! Miko Rantanen has Dallas on the board!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Just how much did us fans and the Metroplex sports scene need the Stars Game 7 win on Saturday?
Oh, man, I needed it for sure. Not just personally, but just my sports soul absolutely
yes,
needed it.
Exactly, because you look at the Stars, or you look at the Cowboys, they're stuck with a quarterback who, while he does great charitable work again and again and again, and that is amazing, mm-hmm. is unfortunately overpaid and injury-prone, and their prospects look mediocre. Obviously, everything with the Mavs, from missing the playoffs, the injuries, to the Luka trade. The Rangers, before yesterday's game, had lost four in a row, lost seven of their last eight. You saw the consequences of that in terms of firing your hitting coach / offensive coordinator and then releasing or putting on waivers Leody. It just felt like everything that was happening in the Metroplex was an S sandwich. And then there was the Stars that came along. One of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. And then they're matched up against maybe the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And it goes to Game 7 after you couldn't close it out in Game 6. And if they would have lost that game, I don't know how today would have gone. I'd have been like, what do you want to talk about? The next terrible thing that's going to happen to us?
Yeah, there is a tradition, Kevin, of me tweeting out all the teams I root for let me down. Like that.
Yes.
Any team, and it doesn't even matter if it's a DFW team. Okay, I'm selecting this team as the team that I'm pulling for this time, and they end up letting me down. And so that was kind of the expectation in Game 7 was, you know what, it might just happen, but I still got to check it out. But I'm going to get hurt at some point. And then after two goals down, that's what I was thinking was, dadgum. But what this team does is they stick around until the end of a third period. Like, look how many times it happened in this series alone. that they did what they did in the third period. They're big enough, Kevin, now to wear you down. They're that kind of team that can actually do that. So waking up Sunday morning with that victory made me feel so much better. Like, yeah, coming into work today made me feel so much better, and the excitement from that kind of moment. I think somebody texted in this morning. I was listening to the Spits and Suds podcast, and somebody had messaged into him and said that picked a really good time to start watching hockey playoffs.
Yeah.
If that's the first game that you decided to watch was that game right there, then yeah, you did pick a really good time.
Oh, man. You might be disappointed by some other like run-of-the-mill hockey games, but
yeah,
man. Know.
So yeah, I definitely needed that, especially with all the sputtering that's been going on. And then as this text says, it's kind of funny. The most loved person in DFW right now is Miko. And the most hated is Nico. Because M-N-O-P. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Not N-M.
Yeah, that's really deep what you're doing there.
Not so surface level stuff, Kevin.
Now, man, you're on one already today. I like it. All right, so we'll talk probably more later in the show or maybe tomorrow going forward. The series against Winnipeg won't be starting until Wednesday. And then if you're hoping that there were going to be earlier games, don't look at the schedule. I have terrible news for you.
I'm never going to sleep again.
So we'll talk about the Stars' fortunes going forward, but you just really needed this because your only hopes right now, because the Cowboys don't start like realistically until September. Obviously, the Mavs are done. So it came down to the Rangers and the Stars in terms of the Big Four and your sports hopes. Well, if the Stars would have gotten eliminated, you'd have been stuck with a Rangers team that fell below 500, was in fourth place, and just fired their hitting coach yesterday because of how much they struggled. Think about this. I saw this from Sean McFarland, and he said the Stars scored more goals in the third period than the Rangers have scored runs in their last four games.
Hey!
Now, it feels like you'd say fun fact.
Sean McFarland covers the Rangers,
yes,
by the way.
He does.
He's not taking shots because he's a Stars fan or anything.
No, not at all.
That's him just covering the Rangers.
And this was obviously prior to Sunday's game. So this was out Saturday night. And you're like, what a depressing way to put that into perspective is that in that one period, the Stars scored more than the Rangers had in their last four games combined, which is why the drastic move to get rid of Donnie Ecker was made. And here's the reason why I say it's a drastic move. Once again, we go to our buddy Sean McFarland, who tweeted out, this is the first time that Bruce Bochy has had an in-season coaching change on his staff in 28 years as a manager.
Are you kidding me?
No. So he is an all-time, like, Boch is an all-time great manager. Obviously, Hall of Famer.
For sure.
Been doing this for 28 years. Never had the situation been determined to have been so bad that they were going to make this decision. Now, I know Boch doesn't make this decision on his own, and we heard Chris Young on the G-Bag Nation when he was like, hey, we're running out of patience. But think about what a dramatic move that is that Boch has never gone through before.
Well, and that's, you know, Jared brought it up on Thursday when we were talking. It was Thursday? Yeah, last week when we were talking with him. And this is something that's kind of I learned while Bannister was here. The idea of I'm going to be patient with these guys because when they do have their successes, I need them to remember that I was patient and there for them. And then whenever they have another, when they go back down, they need to remember that I was patient for them.
Yes.
It's planting a seed with your players, planting a seed with your organization that you're going to support them through the goods and the bads, and you just got to go to work every day and do your thing. And that's what Bochy, he's said that too. He's like, I got to get their confidence up because once I can do that, then I can really work with them even more. But if I'm, and they can trust me. The trust part's so big whenever you're dealing with a manager, a boss, whatever it is, trusting what they're doing. So he making a move like that isn't great leadership whenever you're just irrationally doing it all the time.
Yeah.
So to make a move like that shows a significant change for Bochy to his club, sends a big message immediately. Although they already know. Every one of them's looking at their batting average. They know they're not scoring runs. So now I don't know how they're going to respond, what's going to be different for the whole process of it all.
Is there any part of you that thinks the Rangers were like, I really wish we'd have done this on Saturday?
He scored 8 runs.
It was weird.
You scored 8 runs, and then you're like, letting the dude go. Got to say well, later.
I understand.
Maybe they already knew. Maybe they knew that morning. Okay. And they were like, oh, okay, now that he's gone. Donnie Ecker's a good dude.
Is it either that or they were like, hey, we were going to show you that it's not really his fault that we were being terrible. I think they should have put something in place. All right, Donnie, here's the deal. You scored 8 runs in that game. As long as the offense keeps scoring 5 runs, you can keep your job. And if you do it for like a month straight, then we'll give you some more grace.
Uh-huh.
And so like you can just tell all the players, look, I understand it was a way bigger picture, but it was a weird optic of, hey, in the last 4 games, we scored 3 runs total. Well, you'll stick around. Mm-hmm. Hey, we scored 8 runs. Get all your crap and put it in a box because you're fired. Like, it's just the optics of after that particular game was very strange.
So yeah, for what you were asking though, Kevin, this hasn't been fun. Watching the Rangers score runs is fun. Watching the pitching has actually been pretty special. Our starting pitching has had some special moments.
Unbelievable.
But they've been stressed a lot. Those are stressful innings. Derek's told us that a lot. Playoff innings are stressful. Innings where you don't have a lot of run support are also extremely stressful on the pitchers. So that's been a blast, but it hasn't been fun baseball. And as we watched, basketball wasn't very fun for sure, too. So this Stars thing, I needed it for my soul.
I don't know if people are going to like what I'm about to say based on some of these texts. From the 469, thankful that Tavares is finally out of there. But is he?
Yeah, right. This is a very interesting setup.
So it's similar to the Dane Dunning thing. Where, like, look, if a team picks him up and there's 48 hours starting as of this morning. I can't remember if it was like 8 or 9 o'clock. Probably 8 because of Eastern time. But teams have 48 hours to claim Tavares. If you claim Tavares, then you'll pick up the rest of his salary and everything like that. I guarantee you that is, of course, what the Rangers are hoping and praying happens. $4.75 million salary, so there's about $3.3 million remaining. All right, so the Rangers
are... Why would you do that, though? If you're another team, why would you pick that up knowing you don't that you won't have to pay it all?
I think
you could figure out a way to get him and not have to pay all that, right?
No, but that's the issue, because if you don't pick him up off of waivers, then he reverts back to control of the Texas Rangers.
And then if he reports to minor league camp, then we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, because, gotcha.
So the option Tavares would have is be like, no, I'm not reporting to AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then he can, to your point, negotiate with whoever the hell he wants. But he also sacrifices the rest of that money. I just don't think right now, if you look at his baseball trajectory, that is a wise move for Leody Tavares to be like, I am a fan of betting on yourself. So if he believes in himself that much, then obviously take a chance. From a strictly dollars and cents perspective, I understand how he would be like, well, I'm going to go back to AAA and try to work my way back up
right. Because
I want to go ahead and continue to get the money. And so the money is still going to count against the Rangers unless someone picks him up.
Gotcha.
I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if he did go back to AAA, that's exactly what happened with Dane Dunning going back to the minors. And you could see him work his way back up. Now, if you think Evan Carter's about to come through, or you think Josh Smith is going to be the everyday center fielder, and all there's a lot of other options, then it might not matter whatsoever. But if nobody picks him up on waivers, I would not rule out seeing him again, because I don't think he's going to deny his assignment to the minors. But look, hey, if it happens, then you're off the hook for the money, and you're not going to see him as part of the organization.
It's kind of frustrating because that's a dude right there that when he got into the league, I was like, wow, that defensively, he tracks so well.
For sure.
Couldn't dive head first was something we found out, and that's a weird thing. And then the thing that I thought carried him around this thing was his defense, and that became a problem.
Yes.
I think, Kevin, for me, that started last year in the Detroit game for Jack Leiter's start.
I agree.
I was like, the hell just happened here? And then you go look at some of his hitting numbers, and you're like, holy crap, he has some of the most hard-hit balls on this team. He's one of those guys that he will hit just as hard as anybody else, but he's not consistent enough. And he let that part of it go. He never developed beyond that. And they, at this moment, are looking for lots of answers in lots of different areas. And that becomes another message sent to the rest of the team of we're not settling for this. That's Chris Young right there, I believe, saying, I'm not settling at all. Everybody on this team should be alert about that.
And usually today is the day. CY will be on with the G-Bag Nation, so that should be very informative. We've got Bob Nightingale coming up in about 2 hours at 12:40. That should be very informative as well. But a lot of movings and shakings for the Rangers, which goes all the way back to it just felt like the Stars and this Metroplex desperately needed that win. From the 817, I love this. Took my daughter 6-10. So electric in the third period. Amazing experience. And you got to think, I wasn't at the game with those people, but you got to think, hopefully you've created two lifelong hockey fans. Or like two much more likely to be lifelong hockey fans. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Big injuries and big records next on The Fan.
First pitch. Line drive, base hit into left field. Langford scores. RBI single for Marcus Semien. And the Rangers get some insurance. They extend their advantage to 3-1.
And the Rangers were indeed victorious, although a lot of other news that we were just talking about kind of took precedent for the day. Rangers are off today. They'll get started in Boston tomorrow right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. You know, Baseball Nuggets reminder that we start our Nelly ticket giveaway today.
What?
In the noon o'clock hour.
Man, it is getting hot in here.
Must be the money, man.
We'll be giving away a pair of tickets to go see Nelly.
Nelly's sold Dos Equis Pavilion. He's sold a lot of albums.
Yes.
Lots.
I'm with you on all of that. All right, let's start with the Kansas City Royals. The Kansas City Royals set a team record with 7 home runs against the Orioles. Are you impressed by how many home runs that is?
That is a lot.
And if I told you that's not the only record they set in that game.
Oh.
They tied, according to Elias Sports Bureau, the record for most solo home runs in a game. So the Royals themselves, club record, 7 home runs. The two teams combined, the Royals and the Orioles, had 10 solo home runs, which was tied for the major league record as the Royals won 11-6.
Yeah, good for them, man. Very fast team, right? But they have not been hitting with a lot of power this season at all.
Yeah, and, you know, that'll help turn it around. Meanwhile, the Orioles. The Orioles are 13-20. They're last in their division. This is a team that, I mean, we've seen them last several years, and I'm sure a lot of people expect them to take the next step. They have most certainly not.
Well, I mean, look at this. Both of those teams, very young teams, the Royals, the last 10 games have been pretty nice to them. I think they were sitting at the bottom of the division right above the White Sox before this little run here. But both of those teams are very young teams. Like, their leadership is young, their core is young, and you started thinking, man, they're on the rise here. And last year, the Royals get the playoffs, they make that run there, and then what are they? Like, what are they? They've probably got to be doubting their identity of what they are at the moment and starting to go, do we have to start making some changes to some of this stuff? So that's a big time struggle for both teams.
Do you think they should fire their offensive coordinator and let one of their outfielders go to outright waivers?
Look, every team's different. Okay. So every team is going to need a little bit of a different approach. I don't know exactly what theirs is. I know what ours was.
Okay.
And what we needed.
Do you think that's going to pay off, the strategy that we just did?
Let's see who we hire to replace.
Okay. I'm going to ask G-Bag Nation. I'm serious. I don't know what Chris Young will say about this, but he feels like he usually cuts right to the point. Is my question would be, you definitely hope somebody picks up Leody off of waivers, right? Like, just to see if he's like, hey, we released him for a reason, which I kind of think might be the way he answers question. All right, let's go from that to the Red Sox you were about to play. Tristan Casas, he underwent surgery for a knee injury. He is, in fact, going to be out for the rest of the year. Not particularly surprising. He had a ruptured tendon in his left knee. And as soon as you heard that, you're like, ooh, that's probably going to be done for the rest of the year. He did, in fact, have surgery yesterday, I believe, at Massachusetts General, in case you really wanted to know that. You're welcome. And he will be out for the rest of the season.
Did you see it? Did you see
Yes.
how it looked? It was the weirdest looking thing because his left knee collides with the first baseman.
Yes.
Like that hit.
Yes.
But I looked like the right knee was the one that gave. That was what was weird to me was it looked like the right knee when he stepped on the base was the one that gave. And then I was like, was it the collision that caused the tendon
and
tear?
And then maybe you put too much
yeah,
on
I don't
the
know.
Other side.
I don't know. It was a really weird looking thing to me. And that stinks, dude. I had a patella injury back in the day. It didn't tear, but it's not a fun recovery at all.
And it was his left tendon.
Yeah, yes, that did, it yeah. was. Yeah, it was his left. That's why I said it banged up against something, but it looked like the right yeah. one gave. So that was weird to me.
It is a strange situation, unfortunately for them. He is going to be out for the rest of the season. All right, I have another record for you.
Another one.
You might not be as excited about this one. On Saturday, Jake Meyers tied the Astros club record with 13 total bases. Are you excited for him?
That's a lot of bases.
No, the answer is no.
How many home runs did he
because
have?
Because he is on the Houston Astros.
You know what? You're right, Kevin. Screw them is what you meant to say.
See? That's all I was looking for.
You're welcome.
By the way, the Houston Astros are in third place in the AL West. The Rangers are in fourth, four games back of first place, where I guess I have to take the Mariners seriously now. But guess what? I still will not. Speaking of those Astros, did you see Lance McCullers Jr. made his first Major League Baseball start in 3 years?
That's impressive for
so
him.
He's kind of like the Landeskog
yeah.
of baseball. That is really odd that two players coming back from 3 years absence due to major injuries, and obviously we're interested in both of them. Now, the Astros lost in five to four in seven innings because they decided, I don't want to see these two teams playing. Or it was because of weather. I will let you guys decide. McCullers was fine. He had 3 2/3, 3 hits, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Didn't give up any runs, but I'm sure the biggest thing for him was like, hey, I was back out there, and I was starting a game again, and I was pitching.
Dude,
so
that's the truth. You get back out there after that kind of time away from it. It feels so good.
And he pitches for the Astros. Are you happy for him?
No.
Oh man,
no, screw them!
Wow,
no, the Astros. That's what we've always said.
Man, I really thought.
I mean, it's good for him and everything.
Yeah. Really thought I was going to be able to convince you to support that.
Is there another way? Like, what else you want to add to it? Along the journey, did he save a bunch of pets out of a?
One of the founding partners of My Possibilities.
No, he's not.
Okay. Well,
I know history.
Well, like if you were going
to, we had to take a tester on that place one day.
Oh man.
Show is what I was going to say, not the S.
But you could see how I would think that might convince you to be like, oh yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
I
love that guy. All right. Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani. He had his second pitching bullpen session since his paternity leave. However, the Dodgers are really cautious to be like, hey, look, it's still probably going to be a couple months until Shohei pitches in a game.
Yeah.
And if you're the Dodgers, you could see how you'd want to hold it off till potentially toward the end of the season, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of like not having Miro and Robertson on the ice. Do we really need them to? Do we really need those guys to win a series? No, we just won the series without them.
Look, you're right about all of that.
Do we really need them to pitch? No, we're so deep on our rotation that we're just fine.
Okay, all of that is true, but there are multiple times in that hockey series where if you were like, do we need him? I would be like, yes, yes, we do. Get him back out there.
Miro.
Because I think we all knew that Robertson wasn't going to play in this series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you think a question gets asked to Pete DeBoer in about 10 minutes? Hey, you said that Miro was going to play in the first round and he didn't. So why should I believe you this time?
Can we ever trust you again, Pete?
Yeah.
George Peter DeBoer.
That might be too aggressive of a question,
especially after he just put this team through a game 7 win. Maybe be a little nicer to him, Kevin.
Okay, well, I'm just asking. I'm not part of this media scrum today. Go ahead and give me cut number 13, because Jacob DeGrom also set a new record.
The 1-2, and that pitch, the bottom of the zone for a called third strike. Polanco caught looking at a slider And that's career strikeout 1,700 for Jacob DeGrom. It comes in 1,400 and two-thirds innings of work.
Now, for Jacob DeGrom, he is the 13th active pitcher to achieve that feat. He also has done it faster than anyone in the history of baseball. He broke the record, which was set by son of a gun, Yu Darvish, and somebody else who I'm totally blanking on at the moment.
Dylan Ryan, probably.
Probably, but I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, we'll have to figure. We'll find it out.
But
I'm glad you said son of a gun, though. That was pretty impressive. It's interesting, though, Kevin, that you say that he's the second fastest?
No, he's the fastest in terms of number of games.
Okay.
So not
there
in,
you go.
Look, I
That's
get
right,
it.
Because like the fact that he's been missing so yes. many times yes. throughout his career and still been able to do that is very impressive.
Yeah, in terms of number of games, he is the fastest to get there. By no means in terms of like number of seasons or, you know, from the time you debuted to the year that you broke the record. So none of that. But I just wanted to throw it out there that I thought it was really cool. And you have seen once again, starting to see a little bit more of that Jacob DeGrom that I think we'd all hoped.
Got a little DeGrom swagger going on.
Exactly. Don't you think?
Yes. He's been becoming the DeGrominator again, dude. I'm excited about it.
And I know we're not like really supposed to spend a lot of time focusing on this and everything, but the fact that he is still healthy and he is still pitching. And
how much do you think that's because he grew his hair back out?
I had not.
Yeah.
Do you think that?
Samson, we know that story. So he's strong right now.
Tell me the story of Samson.
Well, Delilah went and cut his hair out of nowhere.
Did you say Delilah?
Delilah. Yeah. Okay. She went and cut his hair out of nowhere while he was asleep. Mm-hmm. And then Samson, he couldn't do what he needed to do. And that was break down the pillars. Everything else fell apart after
sure
that.
I thought for sure you were about to say the walls of Jericho. I was almost
100% that was with the trumpets, Kevin.
You were going to say that.
That was with the horns.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's go back to the Stars. All the facts, figures, and history from the Stars in Game 7. And looking ahead to Winnipeg. We also might need to talk about Scotty Scheffler and Derek Lively next on The Fan.